the Alex Belfield In Conversation podcast with daisymedia.co.uk.
There are times in a man's career when you get to speak to a genius, and I think I'm speaking to one of them. Arthur Smith, how are you?
Well, genius, goodness me, that's a big build up. It's a long way to go down from there.
All right, let's say comic genius. That's not quite as good as a proper genius.
Well, all right, yes, I am. You're right, I'm a genius. I'm not just a comic genius, I'm a poetic genius and an artistic genius. That's a whole side of my work you haven't seen yet.
And more importantly, a grumpy genius.
Well, I'm good at being grumpy, it's true, and I can just instantly almost switch into grumpy mode at any moment. Look at you grinning there with your miserable young man's fresh face. Yes, grumpy old men has undoubtedly been something that has, as they say in the PR business, raised my profile. Not that I particularly want it raised too high, you know. I turned down as much work as possible. Well, I'm lucky to be in a position to be offered to be on afternoon TV in a short segment. But, I turn a lot of stuff down. I've turned down all reality shows so far, but I'm wondering, maybe I should do one. I don't know. It just seems such an awful thing to do. Why would any human being want to do it, really? I am going to turn them down. That was the end of that musing.
How did I slip through the net that you agreed to do this?
Which net did you slip through? Which net are we talking about of the many that you appear to have slipped through in your life, Alex? Well, of course I'm doing this to publicise a raft of shows I'm doing around the country. Unfortunately, I'm not very good at plugging. I now realise I've forgotten the list of where they are. Well, perhaps you can stick that in at the end.
Yeah, we'll do that for you. I mean, there's nothing more grim, presumably, than touring theatres up and down the UK, is there?
Oh, no, I don't agree. Well, there is, if that's all you ever do, I agree. But I'm doing it in some style. I'm not like doing 25 gigs one after the other, going from Bournemouth to Aberdeen to Belfast to Lowestoft, you know, in that order. I remember doing that sort of thing where you wake up with a hangover. Not that I do anymore, but I used to wake up with a hangover and think, right, I'm in Cardiff. Where's tonight's gig? Let's have a look. Ah, yes. Dover, you know, and then the one after's in, oh yeah, no, but I know I'm doing it in some style. They're kind of one-off dates, and I'm trying to tie them in wherever possible. They're mostly nice places, so that I'm going to find out about the places a bit, and then maybe explore them and go off and do a bit of walking. You know, like for example, I'm doing the Buxton Opera House, I believe, at some point, and I'm tying that in with a nice weekend walking in the Peak District, and. And I'm not messing around staying at the youth hostel or sitting in the back of some grim van afterwards. I'm going to either stay in a hotel or be, you know, taken home in a padded helicopter with a couple of dancing girls in the back.
Is the Arthur Smith Show a bit like a Broadway spectacular? I mean, do you have dancing girls and do you have big scenery and sets?
Well, I suspect there's an air of sarcasm in your voice, but you never know. You never know. These shows are called An Audience with Arthur Smith, and in the first half I should be pontificating about my life, career and the world, heavily peppered with gags, I hope. And in the second half, I'm doing a question and answer thing. But who's to say? You know, sometimes I do sometimes have dancing girls come on, and maybe I will, you know, if I meet some dancing girls on the train up, because I usually get the train, I should get them in the show. So, you know, I usually, when I arrive at these venues, the sort of stage manager bloke says, so what are your requirements, Arthur? And usually, technically, my requirements aren't much. But I always say, yeah, well, you know, you got my letter about the roof opening up and the lasers and the stairs that light up and the chorus of 200 girls as I come on, did you? And even stage managers get that joke and say, oh, yeah, we did.
How do you know you're funny then? Because that's what amazes me about comedians. You're going to put a show on. There's therefore, you're kind of obliged to be funny, aren't you?
Yes, well, that's your job, isn't it? And if you're putting a show on and people are paying for you to be funny, you better be so. Obviously, the fact that I've done it many times before, that's just my agent texting in to check that I'm not saying anything out of order. If you've ever, you know, I've spent the last 20 years on and off standing on stages, you get to know you get to know what an audience will like. Not always, of course. You can, no one's guaranteed. And you get to do some bad gigs. But the thing is about comedy, unlike other performing arts, is that you get an instant response. So if it's funny, people laugh. If it isn't, they don't, you know. Or at least you could do something that was amusing. There'd be sort of small smiles. But as a comedian, you want a great big laugh lifting off the roof if you can.
One of the things I loved were your lectures on comedy and what's funny and what's not and who's funniest. Did you ever come to a conclusion who's the funniest comedian and what is the funniest joke?
Yeah. Well, the funniest comedian, ever in the world, ever. You know, Aristophanes was supposed to be pretty good, but I never saw his act. I think Richard Pryor in his early days was a truly wondrous creation of sort of free-thinking, rolling, kind of brilliant ideas and acting them out. And he was doing it in a way that hadn't been done before. I would say probably he would be a candidate for the greatest ever comedian. And as for the other question, pleasingly, since I've reached my 50s, I've forgotten what it was.
Who's the greatest living comedian today, then? I mean, there's two kind of ends of the spectrum. I saw Russell Brand's new DVD at Christmas, which I thought was singularly the worst thing I've ever seen. Then there's people like Ken Dodd who do 16 hours non-stop. Yeah. I mean, is there anybody who's brilliant at the moment, or can you not say because comedy is down to the person who's receiving it?
Well, I'm happy. I don't like people being coy. I say, well, I couldn't say any names. I'll give you some names of people I think are brilliant. I think Stuart Lee is a comedian who does really interesting and funny stuff. Of the younger comics, I mean, this bloke Russell Brand, I think he's quite funny. I get confused between him and Russell Howard. Which was the one you didn't like?
Brand. I thought he was as funny as Piles, to be honest.
To be honest, I've not really seen his act, but I've seen bits and pieces where I thought he was quite amusing. But the boy is clearly doing too much. You know, he needs... you know, someone should... His agent say, look, have a morning off, mate. You know, you must have a hangover anyway. You know, he's on so often. It's bad. It'll be bad for him in 5 years. People will be so sick of him, you know. Or even less, maybe. I don't know that. He'll probably be president of the United States.
The funny thing about comedy now is it seems to be the emperor thing. Little Britain's probably just had the same thing, and I think that's kind of dwindling, having watched the Christmas specials. It does seem to be kind of coming and going now, whereas in the olden days, in the 70s, there were comedians that were there forever, the Bob Monkhouse, the Ken Dodds, the Les Dawsons, people like that.
Yes, that's an interesting point. I mean, I don't know how true that is because, of course, we are here now in this period and you see the comings and goings. I mean, I think there were comings and goings even then. You know, Frankie Howard was a man who was hugely popular, then fell completely out of favour and then came back again. But there's so much comic activity now and, of course, so many different channels through which you can disseminate it. It's not just like doing live gigs as it was 100 years ago. And then there was telly, there's radio, and the internet has opened up a whole huge range of ways that you can disseminate comedy. So I suppose it all goes a bit faster. I mean, in years gone by, if there was a great gag, you know, every comic would end up doing it. Now you have to do your own stuff, and as soon as you do, someone else has seen it, and so you've got to keep ahead of the game. I think it's a faster moving world than it was, but that's not to say you can't have some longevity in your career. And I think one of the keys is to do a lot of different things to always be prepared to experiment a little, try and move forward a bit, to try something different. What people always find, or often find, is that the thing that you, little thing you did for love or charity or that interested you but you didn't think anyone would be interested in, turns out to be the thing that you're known for or that you get remembered for. I mean, who would have thought? King Alfred, for example, a man who started the Navy and translated the Bible and instituted various institutions that we still have now, and yet what do we remember him for? Burning some cakes once. You know, you... It's peculiar, the shadow that you cast.
The Alex Belfield In Conversation Podcast.
And I think you'll be remembered for being grumpy now, because that seems to be the thing that everybody talks about when you mention your name.
Well, yeah, at the moment, but who knows? In 50 years' time, I doubt I'll be remembered at all. But if I were, maybe it'll be that, or maybe it'll be something you don't even know about, or I don't. Who knows? Grumpy Old Man is undoubtedly something that has people come up to me quite often about that, which of course, in a way, being something of a grumpy old man, that is a bit of a pain. You know,
Bill, so you're even getting grumpy about being grumpy now.
Yeah, well, I'm not alone in this. I mean, yes, all right, I won't say any more. You know, Will Self, I know. I mean, he always just tells me to F off every time he sees me, and I agree, and I do. And he is a man, I imagine he must sort of virtually be shooting people coming up to him. Yeah, because they always say, yeah, you know, I'm grumpy too. You know, they say, well, if you're really grumpy, why don't you sod off and leave me alone? But no, yeah, I understand that. Fair enough, people want to say hello, but particularly with that programme, it would seem... that programme, it was wonderfully edited, and because often you find, if you look at Grumpy Old Men, often the people on it are not really saying anything particularly funny. They're just going, oh, it's terrible or something, and it's edited in such a way that the grammar of the editing is that somehow you get a real sense of these people, and even those things are funny, the things that aren't on paper anyway funny.
What are you talking about in your act at the moment? I mean, you talk about being topical and up to date. Is it all Asbos at the minute and things like that?
Well, the very phrase Asbos is a bit of a joke, isn't it? Somehow it can be used in a comic fashion. I don't know. I'm always appalled by the media more and more. I mean, that whole terrible business about the killings at Christmas of those poor women. And you see things in the paper. This exercised me. In one of the newspapers, it said, after the poor fifth woman had been killed, that's enough. And you think, well, hang on a moment. What, so four was okay, was it? I mean, the sort of mindlessness of some of the... you know, actually none. That's enough, my friend. So, I don't know, that was exercising me recently. I mean, frequently you see things that irritate you. Also, wherever I go on these venues, my plan is to get to... I already know a lot of places in Britain, to get to know a little bit the town and to probably slag it off. I don't know. Or to, you know, get a sense of where I am. Because that's the great thing about... a live performance is it's a one-off, and the people gathered there are a unique group of people. So I'm going to, you know, do something specific to the evening every time. Who knows?
Are you still nervous about the thought of doing it, or is it just a walk in the park now, going on stage and talking about the things that are on your mind?
No, it's never a walk in the park, really. Unless I do a show which is a walk in the park, which I have done, may I say. I do these outdoor shows, and that's a walk in the park, although quite terrifying too. For these ones, I'm doing a whole evening, and I've got to be pretty on the ball, and I don't really get nervous much anymore. But that's not to say I'm not a bit apprehensive, or, you know, in the period just before I go on, I'm... you know, sort of quite intense and unapproachable for several minutes even. But no, I mean, I kind of think nervousness sometimes is a form of vanity, really, as though anyone cares how well you do or not. In the end, who gives a toss?
Is there any risk now of you being booed off? I kind of feel now, with because of this celebrity culture we live in, everybody's seen you on the telly, so they're going to give you a chance anyway. Is there any possibility that you could fail now as a comedian, or do you know too much and have you been doing it too long?
Oh, God, no, I could fail desperately. I mean, you know, I could fail at any moment. You know, you're only really as funny as your last gig, in a sense. As soon as I lost it or got all my jokes on or did a load of rubbish material, word would get round, don't worry. As to whether I'd be booed off, that's another step. I don't know if I've ever actually been booed off. I mean, I've been heckled, jeered, spat at, attacked, and had urine poured over me.
Urine poured over you?
Once, yes, when I was in Edinburgh, there was a chap... and I was standing there, and he came, he went, and threw something at me, and I'd seen him, and someone told me afterwards that it was pee, and it was warm, of course, you forget this about urine, so and I thought, what's this sickly warm yellow stuff, and then someone told me, and I thought I'd seen him having a pee in a glass, but actually, as it turned out, the chap had enjoyed the act, and it was a tribute to me, so God knows what he'd have done if he'd hated it. Well, if I'm booed off, so be it. It's depressing, but you have to put up with a couple of things like that. If it's happening every time, then I'm giving up and going back into landscape gardening.
Are you happy with the heckles? Are you one of those comedians that look forward to them so you can pull out one of those Bob Monkhouse crackers and hit them back with it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think a good comedian should, if not welcome heckles, certainly sometimes relish it a bit. And it can undoubtedly lead to some really funny and entertaining exchanges. Generally speaking, you should be able to get the better of a heckler because, A, you're sober. B, you've got a microphone. C, the audience have come to see you and not them. And D, you're supposed to be funnier than them because you're a semi-professional comedian. So you should be able to get... It's when they just keep relentlessly going, get up. I mean, then, you know, if there's no... Then it's, I'm sorry, we'll have to get security. But, I welcome a bit of cut and thrust, a bit of to and froing. No, it's so you haven't to do any material.
And do you still enjoy it as much as you did 10 years ago, 20 years ago? Not that I'm suggesting you're old, by the way.
No, please do. I do enjoy it. I mean, when you first start, you're intoxicated by your ability to make a whole room laugh. And that is a very exciting feeling. And it remains exciting, although, you know, when it's happened quite a few times, it's not quite the same. Some people I know, there are a lot of comedians who just get off on it so much that that's all they really ever want to do is be on stage, which is why Ken Dodd, for example, you know, goes on and on. Literally, you know, both... you know, on a large scale and a short scale, his shows famously never really end, and someone has to drag him out of the car park at 3 a.m. and he's still going away. I mean, this to me is a man who's most happy in performance, and I wouldn't say that because I want to have a life outside, but standing on a stage in front of a room full of people making them laugh is a pretty damn good feeling.
Arthur, good luck with the tour. Thank you for talking to me today, and I look forward to seeing you. Maybe somewhere glamorous like Buxton.
Yeah, well, Buxton Opera House. I can't wait, to be honest. Make sure the weather's good there in Buxton. And what rhymes with Buxton?
DaisyMedia.co.uk. The Alex Belfield In Conversation Podcast with DaisyMedia.co.uk.